The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. The weekend edition is here. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone, producing engineering. Hope you're doing all right. 21 days till 2017 and kickoff here. We'll keep counting you down. We'll recap the week that was. Week two of practice, the fall camp for Nebraska football, and a pretty loaded show today. Excited to get caught up and rewind it with a longtime coach in college football, Gary Barnett. Spent a few minutes with us talking about the offense and running back, specifically in Mike Riley's offense. The rewind with Barney coming up in about 20 minutes. In hour two, Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity, Greg Smith of Hail Varsity. And you're welcome to join us. Can do so on the phone lines, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line. Schillingbridge Court can tap house. Let you do that on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt _ radio, or at Mark Skurs. Mr. Kranak, how are you, sir?
Well, I don't know, man. It's going to be a roll of the dice kind of a day.
Why?
I had Chinese, leftover Chinese for breakfast, man. So you don't know what the day has in store for you at that
point. I can tell you what's going to be happening, you know, in about 20 minutes during the rewind.
Thank God the rewind will be on. Thank God.
And it's an extended one. It's a weird morning. I mean, it's beautiful outside, but you already crushed a little Kung Pao leftovers. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, it's just, yeah. So I don't know how the day's going to go. And when he asked me how I'm doing, I'm like, I don't know. Obviously, I'm a little confused or something. Because why go there? Halfway through, I'm like, why is this happening?
You're hungry.
But it was delicious.
It was. My wife was up at 5:30 streaming Grey's Anatomy because why the hell not? I don't know what her deal is.
Why?
She couldn't sleep. Allergies were bothering her. It's time to watch Grey's Anatomy, and that got me out of bed much quicker than usually. So,
well, that's good. You do sound a little peppy, which is good.
Coffee. It's beautiful. Here's my question here. As Coach Riley and Nebraska moves forward, will or won't bubble wrap be employed for the wide receiving corps?
Oh, my God. Hey, you know, it's so funny. We talked about roster construction a couple weeks ago and pointed out the wide receivers that out of the 17, seven were on scholarship.
Yep.
Which is already crazy low. Like, that's a pretty low number of scholarships.
If you go four or five wide on 3rd and 12.
Yeah. Right.
There's two guys on scholarship left over.
It's unbelievable. So Nebraska's in a situation where they are going to be reliant upon walk-ons to play key roles.
Does that bother you?
At that, somewhat.
Okay. Because of the fact, for whatever reason, you don't have more scholarship guys, or is it the talent differential? And listen, there are walk-on guys that end up being better than scholarship guys.
Totally. Yeah. This is never to denigrate walk-ons.
Exactly.
But in my opinion, I like the walk-on story best when it's some dude that cannot be denied. Mm-hmm. You know, like you just got to get him on the damn field because he's just better than other people. And then so he supplements your program. He boosts your program. I don't like it when, oh, crap, who do we got left? You know, and you're looking around and you got to throw in some kid that probably otherwise would not play. Like, that's the part I do not like. That's the walk-on story I don't like. I appreciate it. I'm glad they're there. But that normally doesn't portend good things for the team.
Well, think about roles, right? And you go get kids to have specific roles on your team. You want to find a pass rusher. You want to find a tough dude on the on the lines of scrimmage. You want a thinker and a talented quarterback. And a wide receiver you want a beast that is the rare combination of size and speed, or has the quicks in short areas. And that is a great distinction when you talk about a walk-on. And let's give, you know, Brandon Riley a shout out, as he's working hard with the Bills, that won't be denied, kind of forgotten about, not thought of, and just keeps grinding. And then when he gets the opportunity, not only makes plays, but makes plays on dudes that were deemed good enough to get scholarships, be it in practice or during the game. And then the role of, okay, here's a walk-on guy, good on him if he gets on the field, but his main job right now is to push others and provide another body to give our ones and twos on defense looks, to make them better. Now you're being thrust into a situation where you hope a guy like a Brian Reimers can make a catch, take a hit, and get into the end zone like he did against Oregon. It comes down to roles.
Hey, yeah. And he looked good last year when he got on the field.
Absolutely.
I don't want to keep qualifying it, but I hope people understand where we're coming from there, right? I prefer when the coaches feel forced to play a walk-on.
Right. Versus,
as opposed to just like flat out are forced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there, that depth is scary. And isn't that Nebraska lately? Isn't that Nebraska in the past, I don't know, decade plus, two decades? You want to go back to 99? I don't know. However you define the drought. But it's always like there's always like some part that's missing. And so like Nebraska finally gets like Joe Montana at quarterback.
Three of them.
Apparently. Right? Right? Like supposedly you got, you know, and here's another week of another, you know, the guy that runs the Senior Bowl rolls into town. He's like, oh, yeah, this guy, he's going to be an early day pick. Like, it's just that is the consensus thought on Tanner Lee.
You just want things to match up.
Huh? Right.
You want things to match up is what you're saying.
Where's the receivers at now? Well, they're all hurt. Hmm. Or they're not on campus. They're working out back in California. Or they're at Washington State right now.
Uh-huh.
Or like, it's just like, come on. It's kind of like, that's a weird analogy, but Chris Rock, when he's talking about organ and tissue donation.
I miss this,
He's talking about, I'm cool with all that. He's like, except for donating your eyes. He's like, because that's for people with no faith at all. Because what if you come back? You're like, ain't that a back from the dead and I can't see?
Uh-huh.
You know? It's like, right? Like, we're finally, you got Joe Montana. And there's only like two receivers that have ever caught a ball. You know, how does that happen?
You keep moving forward, Coach Dubb has said, and Nebraska will do that. The guys throwing to the wide receivers. Let's spend a few minutes on the quarterback. Mm. And you know what Tanner Lee is supposed to be. Savage from the Senior Bowl was extremely wild Thursday. Coach Langsdorf after practice, and we got to watch practice Thursday. Beautiful day to do so. And you just watch the quarterbacks, even in one-on-one drills or their situational work. And you have Lee, known quantity, based on what we've seen. And then you can kind of apply that to, all right, here's how it's going to work in the Riley offense. And it should be a really good situation for Nebraska. That's the hope if you're a Nebraska fan. That's the belief you have because of his skills. Well, what happens if he goes down, God forbid, and Nebraska has not been immune to quarterback injury in the good years and in the tough years? It just happens. And Coach Langsdorf was asked, you know, do you have a clear number two? And right now he doesn't. And, you know, today I'm fairly certain they're going to be scrimmaging. And you've had a handful of days here, if you're Patrick O'Brien, to hear what was said. You've had the last 2 days of Nebraska coverage to dissect it, and you have a good opportunity to respond here if you're Patrick O'Brien. You also have some affirmation if you're Tristan Jebbia, with all the film work you've put in, all the extra throwing you've done, to keep pushing, because that door is open for you to go get the two spot. And I look at it like this. And listen, I love watching O'Brien throw the ball. I think his arm strength is spectacular. I think he is going to be a very fine quarterback. I look at Jebbia, and while the arm strength isn't up there yet, and there are differences in age and differences in time with the program, I look at him, and the best way I can liken this is, remember Tecmo Bowl? If you'd hold A down and you're trying to scan the receivers, and if you had turbo and you held A down, how it would just, you know, kind of cycle through who you're supposed to throw it to. That's what it seems like is going on between the ears with Jebbia as far as the way he's looking at the reads, processing, and then how and where he gets the ball out to.
Well, it looked like that in the spring game.
Right. At this early age, he knows where to go to the ball in short order time. So that is remarkable for him, as young as he is in the program, and that speaks to his skill level and talent level early on. And that's kind of the tag on quarterbacks. If you're good early, you're going to be good late.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And if you're a quarterback that takes some time to develop – you know, maybe it works out, but a lot of instances you're always looking for that next guy at quarterback that is good early. You want to roll with it. Now, Nebraska's unique right now because Mike Riley's had quarterbacks that have been good early, but he's also been the guy to get the most out of players by their senior year. So he's an example of continuing to groom guys, and by their senior year, they are ready to rock. They're really good. Sometimes it doesn't take that long, but if it is an extended project, it can get accomplished under the way they do and train their quarterback. So the reality is Nebraska's in a great spot with their quarterbacks for the first time in a long, long time. What you wonder now is, how do these guys respond after what was said after practice that there's no clear number two? Does the guy that's pushing to avoid a red shirt in Jebbia keep moving? Does O'Brien respond? Who knows? And you hope you need neither of them because you got this first-round pick in Tanner Lee leading your offense.
But yeah, I hope Patrick seals the deal. He needs to lock up that number two. And I think more than anything, Coach Langsdorf's asked about it. Probably wasn't totally expecting the question.
No.
So I think on the spot, he, you know, hedged a little and was like, okay, Patrick needs to step up a little bit. He needs to lock this down because Jebbia is one of those guys, like we were talking about earlier with walk-ons and scholarship guys, seems like one of those won't be denied kind of guys. Like, the dude's just, he's just going to improve all the time. He's going to do everything right. He's going to give you a little something extra at that position. He's just sort of a, that's how we came across in the spring game anyways. Nobody watched that spring game and thought, well, that guy's got a long way to go.
No, you said, look at the poise on this kid.
You're like, what the hell? Who's this dude? He's been on campus 4 months.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's he doing? Does he even know what he's doing? Yes, he clearly does know what he's doing. And then you look at him and you're like, okay, he needs to eat. Somebody give this guy a couple steaks. You know, I'm the one having Chinese for breakfast. This dude needs to be doubling up on that. Because that scares me too. I don't want to see that kid on the field yet. I do not want to see him. He's too slight. He's way too slight right now. To the point where I think defensive coordinators would even like dial up the pressure double or triple if they saw him trot out. Like, okay, let's just get this kid out of here, right? Like, he's got to put on, he needs some more physical maturity. So hopefully this spurs Patrick to seal this number two spot. He's got the scheme advantage. He's been here longer. He's been coached longer. He's physically more ready. He's got to lock that up. I think if more than anything, that was Langsdorf sending that message. Because, dude, you're so right. Hopefully you don't need him. Hopefully you don't need any of these guys. But stuff gets real in a hurry.
Yeah, in three weeks.
You very well may need.
Well, you play Oregon in a month. So that's the reality. And here's something to talk about, too. What the expectation is of if you're a guy like O'Brien and you enrolled early and you've been here and you're the first big fish at quarterback with a number of stars that is a prototype for this system. He's the first guy to say, I'm in with Mike Riley and Danny
Langsdorf.
He's
the middle child.
Well, he's the first guy that is kind of their vision of their offense that they get when they're at Nebraska, okay? And the expectation is you've been here long, you need to be further along than the new kid that came in Jebbia. Now, Jebbia might be a freak in nature with just how serious he's taken this.
He's kind of giving that vibe, isn't he?
Right. I mean, he is.
He really is.
He is locked into this is kind of my calling. This is what I want to do. This is
a great way of putting it. Yep.
This is fun to me. Every extra second of time I have, I'm spending it going over stuff, and I'm getting with teammates to practice it. He just loves it.
Right.
Is my
assumption. More than most people.
Sure.
He just right. Like out of every player on that field. There's nobody on that field that loves it more than him.
What do you want to do on
Maybe
Friday
there's
night?
A couple
Let's
that
throw.
Equal, but you know, he's sort of like maxed out in terms of love for the sport. That's what it looks like. I mean, you get that sense when you watch him.
Here's the other message that is out there to me. If I'm a stud quarterback and I'm thinking of schools, and Nebraska still is in search for their 2019 guy. And right now, if you rewind back to the spring, what's Riley's thoughts on Jebbia? You know, a year to tutor, a year to learn. That's the hope and plan for Jebbia, right? Well, it's not been spoken about. Maybe it will be asked about. But if the number two spot's not sewn up, then the red shirt's off the table as we speak here and now. Yeah. It's fair to assume that, even though assuming's bad. If I'm a 2019 quarterback out there and the history says, okay, you come to Nebraska, we check you out, and then you redshirt, you need that year of tutoring. A lot of these high-profile quarterbacks think they're ready to roll in and be incredible day one. Doesn't always happen, rarely happens, but that's their mindset. This is out there now that, no, if you do the work – if you come in and perform, if you apply yourself on and off the field to having this down, we'll keep that door open for you to get time. That is an important message out there to future quarterbacks that, no, it's not always signed, sealed, delivered with you having to redshirt. You'll play if you can earn it and show us you're ready. Now, you have the exception more than the rule here with how Jebby is attacked this opportunity. I don't know that there's many quarterbacks out there that are that competent this young. And that's the difference. But it is an example when it comes to living room time with 2019 quarterbacks. What you have on campus.
Yeah. And well, you know, he could end up ruining recruiting for a 2019 quarterback. If he locks up that number two spot and is clearly the next guy, right? They could also just be like, well, no, they got an entrenched 3 to 4 year starter coming up. So, yeah, I'm going to look at elsewhere. Yeah. Who knows? But either way, I mean, Nebraska's in good shape. As long as you keep Jebbia and O'Brien happy to where one of them doesn't transfer. They're both freshmen. I mean,
red shirt and
you're,
true.
You're set. You're set for a while. You're set for a while there, as long as you can keep him on campus.
Last thought here. What's your reaction to Savage's comments about Lee? I mean,
what were the comments that he says?
He'll be a top prospect in 18 or 19. Great arm talent.
Did he delete that tweet, by the way?
I don't believe so.
And I swear he did, because I looked at his profile last night, and that tweet
that
is gone.
That probably made his night.
Yeah. Well, no, seriously. I looked at it and it's gone. I've seen it embedded, which made me wonder if Riley or somebody was like, hey, don't you mind tamping that down a little bit? Maybe tamp down the. You just wonder because he's friends with Riley. But I saw that and just add them to the list. That is the consensus thought from anybody that's a pro quarterback, a guru, or a pro guru. They're all saying it. Brandon talked about this a few weeks ago on the show, Vogel. He's like, if Tanner Lee isn't great, then they were all wrong. He's like, and the likelihood of that is low. You know, like
if everyone's saying it, it's true.
Right. He's like consensus. You haven't heard anybody be like, yeah, he's good, but there's been no but.
No.
It's like, yeah, guy's got an incredible arm.
Not from a skill set.
He's got incredible poise. He's deadly accurate. He's got everything you're looking for. He's out throwing the entire nation in all these camps. You're like, damn. And if he is that good, you're making me think about calling Vegas during the rewind here. Well, 6.5, isn't that what they have Nebraska's win total at?
Yeah, you're gonna throw some cheddar down on well over.
You got Aaron Rodgers,
the 16. Right.
Now, then again, here's another point though.
What?
Jared Goff was a top pick. Mm-hmm. California sucked.
Yeah, well,
they were not good.
Who outthrew Jared Goff at the camps?
Well, that's true. Aaron Rodgers, his California teams kind of sucked too, didn't they?
How did that happen with Beast Mode and DeSean Jackson?
That's defense, I guess.
Well, they were number two in the country at one point. Cal was.
Okay. Then they so maybe they didn't suck. I'm thinking back.
No.
Oh, you're right. No, they were pretty good back then.
Well, they had a year they were good.
Yeah. Didn't they have Vereen too?
They may have. I don't know. That was pre-Leach.
I feel like Lynch used to split time with a guy. They had kind of a Weeback situation going on.
Yeah, that wasn't a good call. How about the solar eclipse? That is just around the corner. Where do you want to spend it? I suggest you look at Wilderness Ridge. The solar eclipse, come share it with Wilderness Ridge. Also going to be a gorgeous weekend for golf. Don't golf while the eclipse is going on. It's hard enough to see your ball off the tee. WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 402-434-5106. Number you can dial to get that tee time set up. Also, live music this weekend at Wilderness Ridge. Gorgeous weather. Sit out on the deck. Have a drink and enjoy wine or whatever your want is out at Wilderness Ridge. And just to kind of recap what you can do during the solar eclipse Monday, August 21st, the partial eclipse begins at 11:37, total eclipse at 1, the eclipse ends at 1:04, total eclipse ends at 1:04, and then, of course, the event done by 2:30. Make your reservation. You hear and see about eclipse parties. It sounds to me like why not spend it at Wilderness Ridge? Can make time and that reservation today for the eclipse, and also do some research about membership benefits and pricing for golf. Great time with the family. A guy who loves golf, and we caught him on the golf course, Gary Barnett, former coach, Colorado and Northwestern. We sit down with Barney, get his thoughts on the running backs in this offense and what the backs out of the backfield can do to defenses. Our rewind segment next at Hail Varsity Radio. Gary Barnett on the way.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranek.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Time to talk a little college football. Let's get caught up with Gary Barnett, former coach, Colorado, Northwestern. And we're getting him out on the driving range. Coach, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. Standing next to Bob Church's great Cornhusker quarterback. We're hitting balls. Enjoying a good day here in Boulder.
Well, that is good. How's Bob hit him?
Bob's a really good player, but he just torn his rotator cuff and his biceps tendon, and he had surgery on September the 7th. So he's going to be out for 6 months. Now I'm going to try to play him when he's out, and that way I can beat him.
There you go. Coach, we're getting closer to college football, and earlier today had open practice for Nebraska. They had a scrimmage, and, you know, typical camp thoughts with you know, where they're at, and it's a longer period of camp. But one thing I wanted to focus on and touch on today with you, and you know it because of the offenses you ran, was the running back out of the backfield. Nebraska really hasn't settled. They're trying to find a guy to kind of emerge as the go-to. That said, with this offense with Lee, with what Riley and Langsdorf want to do, it sounds like it'll be extremely prominent in this offense. And I wanted to tap into your expertise about just what it can do to defenses, not only in the Big Ten, but in non-conference. How effective can that element be for Nebraska this season, do you think? And then what did you love about it in your offenses?
Well, I'll tell you what, it can be big. It's huge. You just look at Colorado last year. Their third leading receiver was a running back. And, you know, it's probably one of the most difficult receiving positions to cover. And so, and not only that, but once you get the ball in the hands of one of those guys, they know how to run with it. They do it for a living. And so it's a great weapon against defenses these days. I think anybody that's interested in going to the NFL, if they're a recruit, they need to look someplace where they can be thrown the ball out of the backfield, because that's such a critical skill that all pro scouts are looking for now. So I think it's that and running the quarterback with a lead blocker are the two things that really make it tough on defenses. You know, I mean, defenses are already in trouble with all the spread stuff, but when you add a third down and short package or a red zone package with a quarterback running the ball behind a running back, you get an extra blocker that way, and then getting the ball to the back out of the backfield now to a guy that can catch it in almost any situation, you've got a huge advantage, I think, offensively when you can do those two things.
Gary Barnett's with us. A few minutes here talking college football, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, the receiving game going to be emphasized, and with your scheme, what you wanted to do, and one of the running backs was talking to us, Mikhail Wilbon, really talented guy, and he kind of opened up about just the option routes they have based on formation. That's not new, but give us a little bit of your history, specifically what you asked your backs to do. Did you have option routes in there based on what the defense was giving you, what coverage there was?
Well, we did, in a couple of our offenses, we did. Some of our offenses, we did.
Right.
In the last year, since going to Colorado in 1999, you know, we were a West Coast offense, which is, of course, what Mike is rooted in there at Nebraska, but they've expanded it quite a bit now to where it's also more shotgun and one back oriented, but it's still, everybody uses the same numbering system and the same route calls and that sort of stuff. And again, it takes a guy who understands the pass game, and I'm talking about a running back, mm-hmm. that can run the option routes. Not everybody can run those. And again, it's one of those things that they do a lot of in the NFL.
Sure.
And if that's a skill that you can acquire in college, it's just a plus. So if you're in an offense that runs that, you know, it's a big advantage. But again, option routes are based on just getting the guy open. And when you get a guy that can catch the ball, they can also run with it like most running backs can, then it's an advantage. So we always work a lot of option routes, and it takes a lot of timing on those sort of things. And it takes protection. And then the back's got to know when he goes from an option route to a hot route. Because when they bring more guys and they can block, many times the back is the hot receiver. So he's got to know, he's got to read defenses, he's got to know when a certain player comes on a blitz or after the quarterback that he's got to cut his route off and that sort of stuff. So it takes a lot of time. Fortunately, with no two-a-days in 5 weeks, they got a lot of time to work on that kind of stuff.
What can the tight end and running back out of the backfield element do for the guys that are in the slot or guys that are split out wide? I mean, how the trickle down, so to speak, of this air attack that Riley can have with Lee kind of pulling the trigger with it. I mean, how big a headache can it be if it's everything's working like you just touched on for defenses? Can it do big things in the Big Ten is what I'm asking, because it is a different offense than Nebraska's run, and it's kind of what Michigan's doing, at least, you know, the pro style. But those are about the only two teams that come to mind that are running it.
Well, you get a lot of big linebackers in the Big Ten, big sturdy guys, and so anytime that you can put an athlete like a good tight end, usually an undersized tight end, then he's just like a bigger wide receiver. Maybe not quite so fast, but nimble enough to get open and stuff. So you can now throw routes against their worst defenders, and that's what you do with the backs and the tight ends. The guys on the corner and the safeties, they're born to cover receivers. So you always have tough matchups there, generally. But where you get the mismatch is with tight ends and running backs against linebackers. And you always want to run against linebackers rather than nickelbacks, because nickelbacks are just another corner that's stuck in there. So you want to get that mismatch if you can. And anymore, that's what a lot of football is about, is creating the matchups that you want rather than the matchups that they want.
Gary Barnett, a couple more minutes with us. Hail Varsity Radio. Coach Barnett, kind enough to give us a few minutes between tea times and the driving range and then the rib smoking that's going to go on. That'll be good. We'll get to that. I needed to ask you about linemen. What type of premium did you place on athletic linemen? Coach Cav is extremely happy with this group as far as some of their traits. They are a very athletic group. He likes the group. They got to work on some things, obviously. That'll be key for Nebraska to be balanced. But he loves the athleticism. Was that something you really went after, getting those offensive linemen that were just freak athletes?
Well, what we try to do, Chris, is we take as many defensive linemen as we could and then move some of them over to offense, because they were always, for the most part, better athletes than some of your offensive linemen straight out of high school. So, you get a little more athletic. We would sacrifice height for athleticism.
Okay.
And, I don't think that's changed. I think when you're trying to do the things that Mike Riley's doing, the West Coast stuff, then I think it really puts a premium on athletic offensive linemen as opposed to necessarily the big, great big hogs that you get in some offense.
Coach Barnett, wanted to get your thoughts here, and we'll catch up again on couple of teams, i.e. Bama and Florida State. They will touch gloves and kick off college football here in a few weeks. And Florida State, I know Francois is back. I know they were pretty young on the offensive line. Could they scare Bama, or do you think Bama is still angry about Clemson and they'll come out with guns a-blazing?
No, I think it's a new season. They're not thinking about Clemson. But, ESPN lists the top 25 athletes in the country, and I think Florida State had 5 of the first 10, and probably 3 of the others were Alabama guys. So you're going to see maybe the two of the three more athletic football teams and with more good players than there is in the country. So that matchup is just classic. I admire both of them for playing each other. I think it's just a great kickoff game. If that doesn't get your juices going for college football, I don't know what does. So you're going to see great players. You're going to see good coaching. You know, it's the first game, so you're going to have mistakes. Whoever makes the least mistakes probably win the game. But what a great matchup. And it's one of those games that you can lose and still play for the national championship because of the quality of the opponent and the time of the year that you play.
All right, last thought here before we talk PGA. ESPN did a feature, and they asked a number of coaches, what's the weirdest thing you ever autographed? Okay, and I think the story came out a couple days ago, and it's hilarious. Some poor guy had a prosthetic he took off for Coach Bielema to sign down at Arkansas.
Yep. Yep.
You have a snowplow that was offered to be signed. An Ohio State fan wanted Urban Meyer to sign a snowplow. And then Coach Leach had what he said is the biggest bra he's ever seen he had to sign. What's the weirdest, craziest thing you had to sign or even refused to sign?
Well, I signed a frost wrap in Iowa. The plane had just landed. We'd gotten out of the bus and we're walking in, and this lady asked me to sign the top of her bra strap, and so I made sure there was a lot of witnesses around when I did sign it. But I'd say the hardest thing to sign is a golf ball. There's no way you can get your true signature on a golf ball. So that's the hardest thing.
Have you been practicing that part of it?
No, I don't sign very many golf balls.
So
they don't stay with me long enough.
Right. Okay. Was this when you were playing Iowa, or was it Iowa State?
It was at Iowa.
Okay. Well, that had to be a pleasant welcome to Iowa, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I just did what I do.
You were just polite. I get it. Who's taking down the PGA this weekend?
It's hard to go against Spieth.
Yeah.
He's got so much momentum. But I still, that course is set up for the longest hitters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the favorite is McIlroy going in because of that. He hasn't been able to quite keep his head in the game long enough, or he doesn't get it in there soon enough.
Right.
He's done. So, I don't know about that one. But, there's so many good – Koepka is playing great golf, and he those kind of courses sort of play to his game.
Mm-hmm.
Spieth, I think, just emotionally – got to go with him, but I'd say one of those three guys.
Gary Barnett with us, the coach, Colorado Northwestern, Sports USA, and the Buffs Radio Network. Coach, we'll run you down in a couple of weeks. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, Chris. Talk to you later.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Big thanks to Gary Barnett for his time. Great insight on the offense and signing a bra strap in Iowa City. Kranak, you ever got to do that?
No. I guess I haven't lived. There's always hope.
Knowing your love and affection for Iowa, especially with the no huddles, I didn't know if you had that chance or not.
There's always hope. There's always hope. You know, just because you haven't done it yet doesn't mean
it won't happen.
Glass half full,
I guess.
Goodness.
Friday Night Football. We'll get into this with Vogues coming up. Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity in 15 minutes.
Thank God.
Greg Smith coming up at 8:30 on recruiting. I'm glad Nebraska, they did a ton at the Board of Regents session Friday.
Yeah, they did.
They approved the Adidas partnership extension. Sweet. And then they said, logistically, it might be close to hell if you try and do a Friday Night Football game in Lincoln. And furthermore, don't know that we're interested in participating beyond this year. Yeah. And good for Nebraska.
Yeah, well, we talked about that a few weeks ago, too. And that wasn't just like a talking point for the show of like, ooh, what is Nebraska going to do during the home game? React! Like, we didn't understand how it would work.
No,
how is that going to seriously work?
Yeah.
And finally, cooler heads prevailed, and they were like, yeah, how the hell is that going to work? That's not going to work. We're not going to do that because we're not... I don't know, East Texas State. We don't need Friday night exposure on ESPN. It's ridiculous. So
the reason you want exposure is so the next incredible offensive, defensive lineman, skill guy, quarterback sees you in a big time game.
Yeah. And not while he's playing.
Not while he's playing on Friday night in a big time game under the lights on Friday.
What's the point? I mean, there's no point. So, failed experiment, and it's good that most of the Big Ten is pretty much rebelling against it. Because, by the way, it screws with your life, too, man. Like, so I'm
let's get down to brass tacks. How does it affect Mark Kranak on Friday night?
Well, no. I can't be the only one, right? Like, I bought concert tickets for Friday the 29th.
Okay.
And, as I'm buying them.
Who are we seeing?
What is their name? You're putting me on the spot. They're playing in Benson at the Waiting Room. Okay. They're sort of like a hippie jam band.
Right.
Kind of. Fleet Foxes.
Okay.
There they are. They're super chill. Like, whatever. Just random that I wanted to get those tickets. So I bought them. But as I'm buying them, there's this little voice in my head the whole time saying, don't do it, dude. Don't do it. There's something going on that day. And I'm like, no, there's nothing going on that day. I'm just going to buy them. So I bought them. And then like a week later, you're like, oh, crap, that's that stupid Illinois game on Friday night. Like, what is that? And so then you're sitting, I mean, you know what? It's just not in your, it's not in our brains. Like, we're not wired to understand Friday night football for Huskers. It's just, it doesn't work. I cannot be the only one.
No,
there are.
You're the voice of majority in this.
Thank you. There are thousands of people that are just going to throw, like, you have to work that day and then, like, what, happy hour and then Husker game? Is that how's that going to work for this show where all of a sudden we're basically a post-game show?
It'll work. It'll work
on Saturday
out.
Morning.
Yeah, I know.
It's, man, come on.
Well,
I don't know.
And like here, a game that I'm excited for a lot of times, you have Pius and Southeast. They had to move their kickoff up to 5.
Yeah.
And obviously, if, you know, we're on, you know, 4 to 6, a little hard for me to do a game at 5.
Well, and they're not going to be able to. I hope they realize nobody's going to be watching the fourth quarter. Everybody's going to stream out at the end of the third to be able to get a table at the sports bar to watch Nebraska at Illinois.
Right. And
it's just.
And it's, you know, you're going to heighten your freak out mode. And I know that's 4 games into the season. But you just, based on how things started off, and you lost to Illinois already up there, and now you figure in a stupid Friday night, it gets guys out of rhythm. It's a kink in the schedule.
Yeah.
You're just like, is this thing going to work out? You're supposed to go win by 17, roughly, mm-hmm. but you've already lost there. And
yeah. Good.
Now what? Instead of at least one day to out about an upset, and I'm not saying this will happen, but
oh, that would crush the weekend.
Right, you have two days to be angry and frustrated if it goes sideways, and I don't think it will. But
I mean, that would absolutely annihilate your weekend. Could you imagine?
Nah, 2 days to think about losing to Illinois versus 2 days celebrating the win, the stomping.
But you won't celebrate the win.
Nah, that's true.
You don't celebrate an Illinois win.
You're not supposed to.
You just gotta move on.
Hour 2. It is Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity, Greg Smith of Hail Varsity. Hour 2 continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Into Hour 2, Weekend Edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone Producing and Engineering. We are 30 minutes away, a little less than, from Greg Smith of Hail Varsity, his thoughts on recruiting in the week of camp. Also, we'll do that here with Brandon Vogel, author, and knows a ton about Nebraska. Can read him, as always, with the hot reads every morning, HailVarsity.com, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. Kranak and I have come to the conclusion that from today moving forward, the wide receivers are to be bubble wrapped. Do you agree?
It certainly has gone that way. I think I'm just going to skip over the 2017 season entirely and just get to 2018's talking point, which is how good Tanner Lee can be with a healthy set of receivers.
Ah.
Might as well just get to that point.
Just move forward on it. I like that. Now, there's been a lot of things that have gone on this week between the defensive side of the ball, the quarterback race behind Lee. But we'll start with the receivers. And from a confidence standpoint, do you think that Nebraska can weather the lack of scholarship numbers with some walk-on kids stepping up like they have in the past?
Yeah, I think so for now. I mean, when Keith Williams is your position coach, I don't foresee a scenario where confidence is going to be a problem. I think that he kind of builds that into the way he chooses to teach technique and things like that. And, you know, there's some of those walk-ons. Reimers and Ron are the first two that come to mind that are certainly intriguing and promising in their own ways. But it's when you kind of fast-forward this thing and you just think about, like, what it would mean if – and this happened a lot last year with Nebraska's top three or four receivers. What if Staley Morgan Jr. or DeMornay is just out for a game? They're just dinged. They can't play against Northwestern. All of a sudden, you're really kind of looking for answers there, and you're going to have to play some guys even beyond people like Reimers and Ron, who we know a little bit. You're just going to need some production from people that we may not even know their names yet, and that's kind of a scary proposition. And I do think you have to kind of look at it. We're not to that point yet, but at some point you might get there where you're thinking about, well, that talking point that I mentioned for 2018, I was joking, but there's a little bit of realism in that. If you've got a receiving core that's 80% of what you thought it was coming into the season, that could have an effect.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting too, Brent, even if Nebraska was full strength there at wide receiver, you're still pretty light in the scholarship department, right? So do you think all of this will actually shift what and how, like what plays they call and how they call games overall?
It might have to. I mean, I think if you stay healthy at tight end, now we all assume tight end is going to be a pretty big part of things anyway. In the Gary Barnett interview you guys played earlier, that in addition to running backs, that kind of came up. It's about matching up those guys on big old Big Ten linebackers. So I think Nebraska is that's sort of already in the offense, but if that's what you got, I do think you could see more of tight end come in there, and you influence play calling a little bit just in terms of the sets you run. If you, instead of going three wide receivers, maybe you put an extra tight end out there just because it's what you got.
Let me ask you this. Any thought about shifting some of these backs? The old Curtis Samuel move, you throw him in the slot. That's what you envision Spielman. I mean, not to body stereotype here, but Spielman in the slot, Lindsey wherever. I mean, but how about the fact that, okay, say Jalen keeps doing his thing and has a grasp of the receiving side of things too. That's a big ask for a freshman, but he's done well, it sounds like. And then you also have Wilbon. Could you supplement maybe some spots at receiver with some of the extra backs if you're comfortable and confident they can get it done?
You'd have to be comfortable and confident when you look at those guys. Maybe Bradley's a little bit of a fit there in the slot. Missouri might be too.
That's a guy that could do a lot catching the football wherever you put him.
Yeah, if we're gonna compare him to Danny Woodhead, and say you had Danny Woodhead on the team, would you be able to at least look at saying, well, let's put him in the slot and see what happens? I think you would, but I don't think Nebraska's at a point yet where things get that drastic. It was to a point earlier this week where I kind of looked at the defensive backs. I was like, is there anyone you can shift over from there? A young guy who played both ways in high school, and I don't even know if there's the perfect option there. So it's just going to come down to they're going to have to hopefully stay healthy at that spot, and that's something you can never guarantee.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What about a quarterback? Danny Langsdorf this week says the number two spot is not locked up. What'd you take away from that?
It was a little bit surprising, I guess, that he said it. I'm not surprised based on what we've heard and the little bit we've seen from Jebbia and what we knew about him coming in. Like, this was kind of going to be the playbook for him in terms of the guy who's a gym rat and loves to learn and lead. He's checking all those boxes so far. He still has the body that says yeah, you want to redshirt him for the long-term future of Nebraska at quarterback position. You want to redshirt him. So, I don't know. Maybe there was a little bit of a motivational ploy there, but even that gave me pause, because if that was the real goal there, I'm not sure that it's the way to get the desired result.
Brandon Vogel is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Friday night football, maybe a one-and-done thing. Your reaction to that, and did you, even going back to media days you were at in Chicago, would you have put money down that there would be this big of outcry? I mean, it had kind of been building, but then Riley came out and wasn't down with it, and the higher-ups have kind of followed suit by saying, we're not real interested in this. Great for Nebraska, but what was the Big Ten thinking with this, man? I mean, I know exposure, but still, don't you listen to your people?
Well, it makes you think that. So when that came out last fall, I don't think either of the Big Ten deals were technically TV deals were technically public yet, but they were obviously in the works. It almost seems like they kind of rushed it. They probably got some, Fox and ESPN at least made the ask and be like, hey, it'd be great if we had some Friday night inventory to put out there. And, Nebraska at the time, what we knew is they're going to play road games and they'll host once, every 5 years at home or whatever it was. But all of these issues that have since come up and made Nebraska push to get them off the home schedule could have been apparent then. So it just seems like they didn't really have time to dive into it and get that sort of feedback. I think Nebraska, again, still wanted to be kind of a willing partner and went along with it. But when you have – so Nebraska's not going to do it. Penn State's not going to host home games. Michigan's not going to host home games. If you don't have the top teams in the conference, I think this thing's going to fall apart pretty quickly because – Illinois-Rutgers games every 2 years on a Friday night are probably not what Fox and ESPN were hoping to get out of this.
Why don't you speak for yourself, man? What are you talking about? Why do you got to get some Rutgers besides everything?
I got nothing. I told Schmitty yesterday, I'm kind of a junkie. I'll probably be the guy watching that game on a Friday, but I don't think the general public at large is going to skip their son's freshman football game for that.
You haven't seen my kid catch the football on the sideline.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I think the one remaining intriguing spot, well, maybe there's a couple, but I think the biggest remaining intriguing spot for Nebraska is that running back. Do you have any sense for how they're going to handle that? It feels like you got three guys log jammed that all have strengths, and it's just sort of, I don't know, it's going to be just kind of like manager's choice each week.
Yeah, I still think it's Bryant, assuming, the knee issue he's dealing with now really is just sort of maintenance and it's not something that lingers. He's probably the guy that goes out there at the start of the game just because I think he can do the most things. I'm still pretty high on Wilbon. I haven't seen any reason to get off that train yet. I think he's going to be the most explosive guy, but I just don't see one guy having the share of carries that, say, Terrell Newby had last year. Nothing about it sets up for that. I just haven't seen enough completeness out of one of those backs to indicate that's going to be the case. So I think they're going to get specialized as they can, and hopefully the passing game, assuming there's any receivers left standing, can help them out a little bit and get some increased efficiency there.
A few minutes here. Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. With Wilbon speaking after practice Thursday, he's pretty straightforward. I want to make big plays. I mean, that's you had an amazing story earlier this week on HailVarsity.com looking at big plays. We'll ask you about that in a second. But so Wilbon wants to make big plays. What do you foresee if you're labeling or assigning best role? What do you hand out? What do you think Bryant is best at? What do you think Ziggy is best at? What do you think Wilbon's best at?
Well, I think that is ideally Wilbon's role. He's your explosive playback. Zigbo, probably won't get much disagreement from most people. He's kind of your between the tackles. We need some tough yards guys who can occasionally break one and actually performed pretty well in the screen game last year when you go back and look at the numbers. And then I think Bryant kind of checks the overall box. So Nintendo Ice Hockey was one of my favorite games growing up. Wilbon's the skinny fast guy. Bryant's the medium-sized guy. And then Zigbo's the big guy.
All right. I like it.
That makes sense. This is a way to typecast them all. Brandon Vogel with go ahead.
No, that was I was just agreeing.
Okay. Yeah, Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. It's an interesting situation, too, at offensive line where it seems like you should kind of have your starting five just based on experience, based on the fact that they're upperclassmen. But you keep hearing that Bo Wilson is making a push. You hear that Farniok is a guy that's contending for some playing time. That Raritan is still sort of in the mix. When do you think they'll settle on like who the five are? Because we know that's what Cav likes to do.
Yeah, I think it'll go right up to the week leading into that first game. You know, the Wilson one surprises me a little bit. Now, coming out of last year where all those guys redshirted, I think Wilson was the furthest ahead. He was the closest to playing last year. So we know he's kind of been knocking on the door. But the person he has to replace, Tanner Farmer, I thought had a pretty good spring and had a pretty good camp from everything that we've heard. So that one, you know, it speaks highly of Wilson. Farniok surprised me a little bit less, with Neville struggling to stay healthy. There seemed to be room for Farniok to gain some snaps there. So that one didn't surprise me quite as much. But, you know, competition, of course, is good up there. If Nebraska goes into game two, three, or four this season and they end up having two freshmen on that side of the line, it gives you a little bit of pause, but I think it's good overall.
Vogues, let's spend a minute here on your story on explosive plays. It was well done, and you had some graphs associated with it, and what kind of spurred that forward? I mean, some of the statistics in there you found, specifically, you know, if a team hits a big play within a drive, it leads to points. In Nebraska's case, 78% of the time. Let's dive into that a little bit and apply it to how important it is to the teams, and it has a major impact on their win-loss number.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, if you hit a 20 yards or more gain, which is what I consider an explosive play, if you don't score, it's an upset or a big win for the defense. And I think that's how you have to look at those. And that's sort of been out there for a while, for people who like to dive into that sort of stuff. I think that's how they look at those. So you just got to look at them as almost points on the board. What I tried to do by basically compiling all of Nebraska since they joined the Big Ten in 2011 was look at where and when they were happening under Mike Riley, both offensively and defensively. And, there's a lot there. It's almost a 3,000-word story if you want to go check it out on HailVarsity.com. But I think the log line or the main takeaway there, you got to throw the defense. Baker's out. Diaco's in. But offensively, I think Nebraska benefits a little bit more from scheme versus skill. Now, they still got the skill to get those, but that's basically what the numbers were telling me or my interpretation of them. And I think that's a good thing. And I think it meshes with kind of how we view the offense when we think about the number of times guys are running open, the passing game, those sorts of things. So there's a lot in there, but I think Nebraska's in a pretty good spot going into 2017, knowing what we know about the offense and also about Bob Diaco.
It's so interesting that you bring that up, that just the numbers indicate that Nebraska might have a decided schematic advantage in some ways when they trot out Langsdorf and Riley's offense. And now you insert a guy, put it this way, Nebraska really hasn't had to make throws in traffic very much. When you think about Jordan Westerkamp's catches, Moore's catches, Riley's, a lot of times those dudes were wide open. Now you got a guy that can fit it in a tight window. it stands to reason that Nebraska's explosive plays are going to go way up.
I think they will. I don't know if they'll go way up. I do expect an increase, partly for the reason you mentioned. You know, Nebraska had a lot of guys open a lot of the time. And the passing offense was not as efficient as anyone hoped it would be. I don't know if anyone expected it to be sort of Oregon State levels, but now that is the expectation. You've got the guy you want running that. So I think it'll make a big difference because Nebraska's, you know, we've talked about it before, their explosive plays last year offensively really fell off the table once they got into Big Ten play.
We need to put a board together before kickoff and do an over-under on how many explosive plays individuals get for the year.
Or we can set a line for each game about total explosive plays.
Well, I think we do that,
keys
too,
to victory.
Obviously, to feed our gambling itch.
But, well, here's a quick number for you. Diaco's explosive plays at Notre Dame and UConn. If Nebraska gives up the most he gave up over those years, it'll still be fewer than any Nebraska team has given up in the Big Ten.
That is nuts. Wow. You combine two programs, two stops with versus one program. Say that again. It'll be less.
Yeah, so I think the most explosive plays about Diaco defense has given up since 2010 is like 48 or 50. And I think Nebraska's low in Big Ten play, so since 2011, is about 52. And 2015 was 77, I think.
Jeez. So. 77. Let that sink in. Vogues, tell us about your book with Coach Cook.
Oh, wait, and before you do that, sorry, Brandon, it's related. But how does it feel to be a contemporary of Steve Peterson as a published author?
Well, I was about to get into that. I'm going to break some news here and officially announce that Steve Peterson's novel is now the designated rival of Dream Like a Champion, a new book from John Cook and myself. So we're going to be measuring that by sales, sort of like when Nebraska used to get ready for the Wishbone in Oklahoma. We're going to do normal promo through the rest of the week, but on Mondays we're just going to be attack ads on Steve Peterson's novel so we can outsell it.
Husker Nation, we cannot let this happen. Do not let Steve Peterson win.
No. John Cook has brought three national titles to Nebraska. Steve Peterson
took three away.
No, don't let that book outsell Dream Like a Champion. You can find it on Amazon or anywhere books are sold.
Are you curious about your rival's publication at all?
Oh, I'm 100% going to read it.
Well, there's a lot in there. Look, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette article about it, there he wasn't being too, like, I don't know, low-key about... I mean, there's a passage in there about a veteran coach letting his player back on the team after beating his girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
Like, there are so many... It's not subtle at all.
No, wow. And from a Nebraska perspective, you're obviously looking at it as, okay, what parts of these is he directly taking from his time in Nebraska? It'll be an interesting read.
Wow. Brandon Vogel, author, and also with HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, you're working on the magazine issue this week. What's a preview of that? What's going to be in mailboxes and on newsstands here shortly?
Yeah, so this August issue, we kind of took it as an opportunity to do a little bit of a pretty comprehensive volleyball preview, both Big Ten and Nebraska. So that's pretty exciting. It'll be the first time we've done that. And then, of course, fall camp coverage. Mike's got his usual Mike Babcock's column in this issue is not to be missed. So that'll be a little bit of a tease. That's always the case, but especially so this time around.
That's awesome. That is good stuff. Vogues, have a great weekend. Thanks for a few minutes, bud.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he is.
Thanks, Brandon.
So he went Bill McCartney there and designated Petey as rival.
Steve Peterson. Can you think about this? This is how weird the guy is and how weird that whole situation was. Nebraska's savior athletic director, which is how he was billed when he first got here. Very few people argued with the fact that he should be the guy. to be the AD. It made total sense that he was that guy. You fast forward a little bit, and the dude is writing fiction novels.
How fictitious is it?
But seriously, like what? Like the guy that kind of started the downfall, whether it's his fault or not, is, I don't know, open for debate, but I think most people pin it squarely on him. He's writing fiction novels now. Mm. It's like, what happened? Yeah. Like, imagine if that didn't happen. Imagine if he never happened. Where would we be right now?
Hmm.
Right? Where would we be?
I think Frank would still be here.
There's a good chance.
Yeah.
There's a good chance. Probably be a pretty physical team.
Likely. Yeah. Now, the question is, would you be in the Big Ten?
Yeah, who knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that all led to, you know, Tom Osborne coming back, and then who knows? But the guy's writing fiction novels now.
He is.
He's always been in that fantasy land.
Perhaps, yeah. We'll get caught up with Greg Smith, recruiting analyst for Hail Varsity, and get his thoughts on camp as well. I want to remind you about Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. It's Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick. 100% real diamonds, pure-grown diamonds that are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. What's that mean? Well, they have all the characteristics of earth-mined diamonds, and many customers think they're as much or more beautiful. They're eco-friendly. They are also a savings for you, 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. Make time today to go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln. Or if you're headed west, go see Sauter Heyman in Grand Island. You can log on sauterheyman.com. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds is your friends at Sauter Heyman. A quick timeout. Greg Smith up next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. Colton Stone, producing engineering, and welcome in with recruiting and coverage. HailVarsity.com's Greg Smith, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Mr. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. First question out of the gate, do you have anything on the smoker yet?
Not yet, no. I did reverse sear some ribeyes last night, though.
See, that's a way to be thinking this weekend. All right, Greg, before we get into some recruiting thoughts, what's been your takeaway this week from Nebraska camp? What are a couple things that stuck out to you?
I guess first and foremost, you think about the injuries. You tend to start with the bad. Late here in the week, had a couple of guys get dinged up. Keon Williams, J.D. Spielman, obviously losing Javon McQuitty for the season with a knee injury. And then Trey Bryant being held out for precautionary reasons in practice with a knee injury was something that I think maybe got a little overlooked throughout the week because it got overshadowed because it came out the same day as the backup quarterback controversy, the injury for the season. I think that Trey Bryant knee injury, we'll need to keep a close eye on to see if that lingers throughout the season.
Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What about, I think one thing that hasn't been talked about yet is punt return and kick return. How do all the injuries at receiver and how important Stanley Morgan and DeMorne Pearsonell now are to the core offense, more so than ever before, how much will that affect what Nebraska does in the return game?
I think it could affect it quite a bit because I don't – and I've always been a little bit perplexed on why Stanley goes back there to begin with. I think it's more of he's the guy that, you know, is the safe hands guy. When you know, kind of like they had Westerkamp in that role before where he goes back there and catches the ball. That's basically your only responsibility. I think it will affect it because the thing is how much can you really use DeMorne Pearsonell in the return game if you know that you have to keep him healthy in the regular offense? And is you have to weigh that with if that takes away the big play opportunity. It seems like Scott Booker has focused a little bit more on working on that sort of stuff, according to Pearsonell. So that'll be interesting to see, because then you have to factor in Tyjon Lindsey as well, and he's been working with the punt return unit, but he may be more important than the offense. That is going to be interesting.
And Spielman.
Yeah, Spielman. All of those guys that now are elevated in the offense are also your punt returner. Though maybe you can put Boodle back there, but then again, he's very important at the corner spot too.
Greg Smith's joining us here, HailVarsity.com and magazine, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. You know, Greg, the quarterback spot, and it'll be interesting to see and hear from Riley later how the quarterbacks performed today. Langsdorf just said, look, number two still up for grabs. Did you think, based on the hype that Jebbia had coming in, did you think it was a possibility for him to be this talented this soon? I mean, that's why you go get a guy like that, but it's another thing to go out and perform, and he's done it. Were you among those guys to kind of circle him early and say, yeah, I think there's a chance?
Yeah, I think I circled him early because I thought that there'd always be a chance that he was a really, really good quarterback. But the problem with thinking about his impact coming in right away and making this type of move be the backup at this point is surprising just because of his size. Like, I think that we all see that. We all recognize that he'll need a year in the weight room to bulk up. But it turns out that he probably doesn't need a year in the weight room mentally. Like, you hear Jim Ratt, you hear they had to tell him, you know, where the exits were in the building, so if he was the last one to come out, because he spent so much time watching film alone. Like, all of the things outside of the body, it feels like, are ready for major college football. So I'm not all that surprised that he's pushing for the number two job, but I still don't think that they end up doing it, because long term, it makes most sense for him to redshirt.
Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Running back spot's always going to be an intrigue. We asked Aaron about that, or we asked Brandon about that, and you know he's thinking it's Trey Bryant's to lose. Injury is obviously a factor, so maybe that can change some things. But I think by far the most intriguing guy is always Wilbon. I think he has been ever since he walked on campus. He just seems like the most naturally gifted runner. Are you seeing the light come on with him more in the few practices you've been able to see? Do you think he's actually going to get more snaps?
I do see the light coming on a little bit for him, and I agree with you, Mark, that I think he is the most naturally gifted runner. But it really isn't a huge secret that the playbook has been an issue for him. He actually alluded to that after practice on Thursday, saying he was asked what his biggest struggle has been in Nebraska, and he clearly said right away the playbook has been the definite issue, and that's gotten better for him. And as long as that gets better, then I think he has a real shot to see the field, because I think he is one of those guys that's elusive enough, fast enough, strong enough to be a good all-around running back. And as long as he's protecting the quarterback, catching the ball out of the backfield now with this offense, I think he'll be just fine.
Greg Smith's with us here, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Greg, you do a great job in recruiting coverage. Another story out from you, recruiting recon on HailVarsity.com. You focus in on linebackers. And right now, no one committed, but Nebraska in hot pursuit. Do you have a Micah Parsons update for us?
I guess the latest Micah Parsons update is really just reading the Twitter tea leaves, because welcome to recruiting in 2017, where you had a little back and forth with Buki, who continues his open flirtation with Florida, but you still shouldn't worry that much. It just seems like, you know, he's enjoying the process here, but he was tweeting some stuff out about Florida, and Micah Parsons jumped in and said, no, Nebraska, when it came to, you know, what the next move is. And then Micah Parsons also shouted down Matt Corral, the five-star quarterback commit to Florida, who's trying to openly recruit Buki. So Micah Parsons looks like he at least somewhat likes Nebraska because he defended them on Twitter. So that is your latest Micah Parsons update.
All right. So what about Buki, Radley Hiles? There's some concern. You know, he's got pictures of him with Florida gear. Should Nebraska fans be worried about him decommitting, or, you know, would you take this one to the bank?
Now, at this point, I am not worried about decommitting. I'm still told that he is still firm in Nebraska's camp. But then again, no one can really explain what he's been doing on social media and why he has. I know he's talked several different places on podcasts. He's been all over the places. He's just a high-profile recruit. And he's always said that he's still firm to Nebraska, but yet no one can explain the social media stuff. But as of right now, I would still count him as someone who would be a part of this class.
Greg, with Nebraska and this 18 class there's been some work done by coaches on social media, some shout-outs, so to speak. Nebraska, give me some names, and who are a couple of guys you caught up with this week?
Yeah, you know, I think that one of the Coach Kavanaugh focused a lot on the offensive line. A couple of junior college tackle, Nick Pettit Ferrer, high school tackle out of Tampa, Florida. There was another high school offensive tackle out of Tampa, Florida, and also a big tackle that we've talked about before out of Washington, former quarterback, now just kept growing, Cade Beresford, out of the state of Washington. He holds a Nebraska offer and could be actually nearing a decision, from what I'm hearing. So you keep an eye on him. Mike Kavanaugh gave him some love. But also TJ Pledger got some love from Mark Davis, running backs coach, who's everybody's favorite running back recruit this cycle. Committed to Oklahoma. Nebraska's still working hard to be able to get him on campus, along with Buki helping the peer recruit to get him on campus.
Wide out, Cam Brown, St. Louis. You had a chance to chat with him this week. And you know what? Seems like a pretty good fit for Nebraska, and he was blown away. What did you take away from him?
Yeah, I took the family aspect of that. He mentioned that when I had a chance to talk to him. It's a big family. You know, Mike Riley preaches family. And then also the thing that stuck out to me as well is that he didn't, when I asked about, you know, what he's been working on this summer, it wasn't just his game on the field. It was he wants to be a more vocal leader. He's a team captain now. He wants to be able to show guys the right way to do. It's not natural for him. But I like that Nebraska continues to bring in these guys that have these leadership qualities and seem to have good work ethics and want to get better.
Greg Smith is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Lastly, Greg, get your reaction to the Adidas approval and a thought on Nebraska kind of, you know, putting their foot down with the Friday night deal.
Yeah, Nebraska deal, I think, the Adidas deal, I think, is great. It shows, a couple of things. One, Adidas is making a strong financial commitment to Nebraska to be one of their top schools that they have under their umbrella. I think Adidas is on the rise, particularly with their shoes, not just because I'm a huge fan of the shoes, but the stocks bear that out as well. So I think it's a great partnership for Nebraska, and that's come a long way just in the last couple of years, where I feel like a lot of people are moving towards Nike. So that's a really good thing. And then Nebraska, the writing was kind of on the wall with Mike Riley at Big Ten Media Days. It's kind of surprisingly said that he wasn't really for all of these Friday night light games. But he didn't mention necessarily that it was because of high school. He just said he wanted to get it's his routine, that they don't want to get out of the routine. So it wasn't that surprising once Mike Riley made that statement.
Greg Smith's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine, at Greg Smith HV. Greg, great to catch up with you, my friend. We'll check in with you next week. Thanks for what you're doing. Great coverage, and we'll talk again.
Hey, thanks. I'll talk to you guys soon.
There he is. Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. And
silver lining.
Greg,
silver
is,
lining.
Go ahead.
Silver lining of Nebraska playing a Friday night game.
You can watch other college football.
No, you get an extra day to prepare for Wisconsin.
Mm, okay.
Mm? Yeah. 8 days. You got 8 days between Illinois and Wisconsin. Huh?
How many? Right? How much liquid cheese shots were downed when they heard about Sitchy?
Oh my goodness! Look, I don't wish injury on anybody.
I loved watching that guy. I mean,
I liked watching him play too. But that's cool that he's not. You don't want the guy to get hurt, but I mean,
no,
he's a guaranteed.
That voodoo doll next to your computer has nothing to do with that.
Look, he's a guaranteed 12 tackles a game. That's now gone. Cool.
Well, cool. And think about Sitchy coming in, because he came in for Beagle last year, because Beagle got hurt.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty significant.
Oh, it's very.
Look, Wisconsin's been able to hold it together because they had that player, that really strong player culture.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, and I think it caught up with Michigan State, when you have enough changes on your staff, at some point you would think that it would start to affect on the field performance. At some point. But again, strong player culture at Wisconsin, so they've been able to overcome, you know, having 48 defensive coordinators in the last 5 years. But, right, does that start to catch up a little?
You would think, but Wisconsin's kind of been Teflon with this. They've gone through coaches. Yeah. They've gone through position.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And it's the Nebraska model, and it's Godfather Barry.
It's the player culture, too.
Right, but it all starts from Alvarez's culture that you got to have a similar to exact culture or like-mindedness to coach for me here at Wisconsin. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to develop. Here's how we're going to get depth, and we're just going to be tougher than everybody.
Yeah, they are more comfortable with collisions than any other program.
Well, and the question you don't know is there someone far enough along to be the next Sitchie for them? Because Sitchie came in to be the next Beagle. You know what I mean? They just kind of reload with the guy that's been waiting for his turn.
Yeah.
And treating it like it's been his turn. So.
Mm-hmm.
But in that defense, yeah. I mean, eventually you do have you just can't continually sustain. I get what you're saying. When does the step back happen? Like last year
catch
for
up,
Sparty.
Right? Well, that's the thing people overlooked about Michigan State so much. Look, Narduzzi was such a huge part of their success.
Right.
You know, he leaves. All of a sudden, they're not the defensive stalwarts they were before.
Year one,
it matters.
Year one, it was kind of back to that culture point you made. Year one, it's still like Narduzzi's there because the players are running things. Well, last year was year two without him, and you saw a void in that leadership. So,
granted, their offense was not good either, but still. The stuff it comes to roost at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has to.
That's Mark Crane at Chris Schmidt. We'll wind down a Saturday next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Thanks for your time today. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. If you missed the show this morning, it's all right. If you caught part of it, we appreciate that. You can log on HailVarsity.com and go to the podcast, and you know, during the weekends it's playlist time. I get that, but try a podcast. Check us out on HailVarsity.com. The ESPN Lincoln app is extremely easy as well to take us with on your timetable, and iTunes. Download us and enjoy. Don't cost nothing. Kranak, what's your weekend like? You got a little Home Depot run, you got mowing to do, are you barbecuing, and didn't call me, what do you got rocking?
Dude, we got little girl's having a sleepover. So there's going to be
like
a little girls running around.
I actively just, you know, block any, hey, can we have a sleepover, Dad? No. And I'm the jerk parent. I don't want 4 year little buddies up till 4 a.m. jacking around with the dog. Isn't going to happen.
I know.
So
I have no idea what to expect here.
They always sneak attack the other parent or parents because they know not to ask Schmidt's dad because he's a jerk.
Yeah. So that's a pretty good approach. So I don't know how that's
going to go down. Were you consulted on this?
Yeah. I mean, I just went with it. You know, it's just the neighbor kids. They're always around. And so it's fine. But I don't know. That's invading space right there, right?
Like,
yeah, I don't know how that's going to go down. And they're going to be in the basement, which is like
that's where you live.
That's my spot.
It is,
you know. And they're encroaching on that.
So we'll see. You and the wife have to spend time together and watch something upstairs.
I don't understand how it's all going to go down. I'm going to have a full report next week because I don't know what to expect. Because it's not like they're going to be stationary. They're like 6, 7, 8,
Running around.
Yeah, they're unpredictable little freak shows. You have no idea what they're going to do.
Well,
I don't know.
You and the little guy could do dad time. I don't know.
No, you know where he's going to be.
With them?
He's going to be up around the ladies. Of course he is. You know? He's not stupid.
Yeah.
All right. You know? Planting seeds.
There we go.
This guy, come on. He's got the little cute thing going for him. You know, they all think he's cute because he's younger.
Is he still kind of like Hulk?
He'll play that up. Well, Hulk, when in which way? What
like
do you mean?
Hulk smash. I mean.
Oh, yeah. He's a total disaster. He's great.
All right.
He has no idea what's going on. Very physical kid, though.
Yeah.
You know?
I like that.
A little fun.
Well, good. Craneck's got a sleepover.
Yeah. How about you, man? What do you got going?
I don't know. I'm going to go to practice today. I might try and dust off the golf clubs one more time. Next week.
What do you mean, one more time?
Well, I mean, this summer.
It's not like you're going to be done for calendar year 2017, though.
No, probably not. But now I'm thinking a little golf or sit by the pool or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Next weekend, though, man, Bud Crawford, PBA, it's going to be awesome.
If you don't watch Bud, please watch that guy.
No, absolutely.
He's so good. He's fighting a good one, too, man. Like,
no, Dongo's nice.
Probably his stiffest challenge so far.
Yep. Good enough. That is Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, and Colton Stone. Thanks for your time this morning. We'll talk to you again with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Have yourself an awesome weekend. Thanks for tuning in.